Good morning. It's just an introduction. It's interesting. I was thinking about this today. Becoming a believer, you know, when you became a believer, you thought you knew God. Like, I got saved. Okay, I know God now. I got saved. Right? But then you realize, I don't know God. Because as you start walking with Him, sometimes we ask this question, God, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why did this happen? We find ourselves like a kid again. When you have kids and the kids are small, they're asking always the question, why? You're going to eat later, why? We're going here, why? You need to do your homework, why? Right? There's that question of why. Because there is something being said, but the relationship is still not developed yet. And once the relationship becomes developed, then you stop asking why. And we find this in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord that exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And what's so interesting about that is, like, knowing God, we are getting to know God. In Philippians 3:10, Paul says that I may know him. But in knowing him, there's two aspects of it. There's the power of his resurrection, and there's the fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes the power of resurrection, we're like, yeah. The fellowship, no. Can we escape that part of knowing you, God? But what's interesting is, you ever have growth pains? Like in 1 year, a person grows like 6 inches. It's painful. But you know what's so interesting about knowing God is we're walking with Him. And God has ordained situations that we are knowing Him. So, you know, parenting, you know, and learning that your child is going to grow up. Whether you want to or not, you cannot force them not to grow, right? And you know, I find myself now, there's like a 19-year-old in the house, and I'm looking and I'm like, do I know her? But she's saying, Dad, get to know me. Walk with me. Go through things with me. And that's how you will know me. It's not like a book. Okay, I'm going to skip to chapter 14, you know, okay. And we're going to go to the end. But it's relational. And where it is a great picture I was reading a couple days ago in Daniel chapter 10. It says in Daniel chapter 10, it says four times, he understood, understanding. And it's interesting because Daniel is praying, and God is answering his prayer, but there's time. There's a delay. And that's why we're saying it's like Daniel can't flip to the back of the book and figure out what's going on. It's a relational. God allows things to happen in our lives as believers to know him. Because if he doesn't allow point A to happen first, when he does point Z, I'm not going to understand. I'm like, Lord, why are you doing that? But if he, point A, point B, point C, point D, and then when I get to point Z, I'll understand why God chose the way he did in his plan. And this is amazing because there are, in Daniel chapter 10, there is a vision. But just because I have a vision, it doesn't mean I know God. There is prayer. Sometimes we're praying, but it doesn't mean we know God. I can pray. There is, you know, I see in Daniel 10, there's a great river. There is, okay, I am understanding that this is the flow of God, but it's still, all of it is to understand him. And then this is one of the things I think a lot about that we really have a trouble with as believers. This word called loneliness. Being alone. You ever go through something and you think you're the only one going through this? Yes? No? Yes. And we ask this question, why? And God many times doesn't answer. And we're like, hello, God. Hello. He's not answering. Because as we go through that time, we develop strength with God. And there's resources that are brought to us in the midst of that loneliness. And our Bibles all of a sudden come alive. And then at the end of the situation, we say, you know what, Lord? In the beginning, I was asking you why you allowed this. But it was all so I can know you. All so I can trust you. All so I could be still and know you are God. And this is so amazing. And it's like practically, there are things that God still wants me to go through to know him. He is waiting in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, to be gracious. But the way how he waits is he knows A, B, C, D. And I'm like, Lord, can we jump to Z? Nope. We're not jumping to Z. Because if we jump to Z, you're not going to understand. E, F, G, H, I, J. Right? It's amazing. It's beautiful. And then when we meet people and they ask us, what is God doing? We look at them, we say, get to know him. Get to know him. He loves when we get to know him. He's intimate with us. As parenting and children, he's our Heavenly Father. And you know what's amazing? He knows what we need. He knows what we need. He's not ashamed of the process because he knows what we need. And he allows it so that we can get to know him. Amen? Amen.
So our subject today is knowing the Lord, knowing God. That'll be our theme. And we will teach on that, just like Pastor Eugene shared. Praise God. Beautiful worship this morning, Pastor TJ and the team, and then Daniel and Tracy, that song. He's one of my favorites. Do you like Daniel? Yeah. He's singing with a guitar. That little, you know, in the guitar playing, there was a little pause. Did you hear that? A little bit, and then, you know, wow. That was amazing. Did you do that on purpose? It was good. Would you stand with me, please, and we will just say a prayer. Lord, I believe, we believe that you know us and we know you. Some maybe here, we wonder, do I know him and does he know me? Help us this morning understand this, minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name. You can do beyond what we ask or think, Lord. Speaking to us. Keep us also from the corona, COVID-19. Keep us healthy. Bless in the state of Maryland and our whole country as we get through this thing, that we would know you and rejoice in you a lot. When winning people, that you, Jesus, would make yourself known in your name. Amen. Okay, do you want to do a rejoicing for a second? Let's see, how about it? You want to do a rejoicing before you sit down? Praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Turn with me to John, Gospel of John, chapter 18. I want to teach you something about reading the Bible. When you read the Bible, take your time. You can read the Bible fast, you can read it slow, you can read it like slower, you can read it any way, you can read it thinking about it, asking questions. So this text, even though I've read it many times, I just had a meditation on it. Verse 33, it says, Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Of course, when you read that, you wonder, why did he ask him that? What is the meaning of the phrase, Are you the king of the Jews? Was Pilate serious about it? Was he mocking? Was he not believing it himself? Was he believing it? Was it investigation? Was he serious? You know, are you the king of the Jews? So I don't know, really. Many different things can be said about it, but, you know, it's a pretty intense moment. Yeah, and maybe he is serious about it. And so then Jesus answers, and this is the part I want you to see, verse 34. Jesus answered, Are you speaking for yourself on this? So stop there. What does that mean? Are you speaking for yourself? You know how when you talk to people, you know, people can just talk. I'm sure you've seen that, people just talking. Like, do you know what you're saying? Are you serious? We say, are you just talking? I read about the world record for the length of time that a person talked at one period, 114 hours. Of nonstop talking. So it's like, wow, you know. So there are people that do just talk. They're just talking. But Jesus said to Pilate, Are you speaking like from yourself? Like from yourself. This is the key. Are you speaking? Have you been thinking about this? Do you know what you're saying? So I just for the sake of slowing down and thinking about it, I just drew this little picture. It's like, are you speaking from yourself or have you heard it from others? Verse 34. Are you speaking for yourself on this or did others tell you this about me? Or did others, and we can put here popular talk. You know. What's the difference? The difference is that Pilate, you know, it's almost like Jesus is taking it and putting it on Pilate, like, how are you digesting this situation? How are you relating to it? Are you thinking about what is going on? And that's what I want to share. One point tonight, today, this morning, is about who you are and what do you think and what is in your heart and what do you believe and what has happened in your life and how are you understanding what is happening in this world and in your life. And who is God? One of my heroes in the faith, I mean, not a superhero, but a superhero, J.I. Packer, I put his name here so you can Google it if you want to read. He was a major theologian in the 20th century. He died last Friday, 93 years old. Interesting man, very, very highly respected scholar, theologian, thinker, born again, inerrancy of the scripture. He wrote a book, Knowing God. So that's a popular book, I mean, a famous one. And you can look at it, read it. It's good, it's useful, it's beautiful. There are people that have walked with God and know God. I read a couple pieces to you about this. Jonathan Edwards wrote in his diary, I very frequently used to retire in a solitary place. This is, you know, early 18th century, Jonathan Edwards, maybe you know, up in Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, became the head of Princeton. but he would go to the Hudson River at some distance from the city for meditation and secret fellowship with God and had many sweet hours there. I had then and at other times the greatest delight in the Holy Scriptures of any book whatsoever. Oftentimes in reading it, every word seemed to touch my heart. I felt a harmony between something in my heart and those sweet and powerful words. I seemed often to see so much light exhibited in every sentence and such a refreshing food communicated that I could not get along in reading, often dwelling long on one sentence to see the wonders contained in it, and that almost every sentence seemed so full of wonders. I like to read about the mystics, the Christian Madame Guyon, who also loved, she was enraptured in love with God, and had many trials, persecutions, imprisonment, and meditation letters written. This is in the middle of the 17th century. These people that lived with God, walked with God, but sometimes we put them in a category and we say, whoa, that's like too much for me. I don't know how that really is. So I want to share with you now. Turn to John chapter 20, please. And this is when Jesus and Mary met at the tomb. And Jesus said to her, Mary, in verse 16, and she turned to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said, do not cling to me. In the King James, touch me not. But the word touch is stronger, squeeze tightly, cling, to me, don't hold me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Don't grab a hold of me, hold me tightly, I have not yet gone to my Father. And Augustine says about this verse, he said it like this: you ascended from before our eyes, and we turned back grieving, only to find you in our hearts. So Jesus, he said, I must ascend so I can be in your heart. I must go to the right hand of my Father so that I can fill you with the Spirit. I must ascend up to my Father so I can be everywhere in the world. I can be in the hearts of many believers. And then Augustine said, Jesus is telling Mary, you can let go of my hand so I can give you something that better than my hand in your hand. I can put my heart in your heart. So when Jesus ascended and sat at the right hand, now we have something that is amazingly important to us, that we all can know God, that we all have the new birth by believing in him. We are born again, and then trusting in him, we are filled with the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, we know God. This is the meaning of fellowship, is he wants you. He has saved you. He has put his Spirit in you. And Jesus is in heaven functioning there. He is operating there as our high priest. That operation of God in heaven on our behalf is not finished. He continues. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, he makes intercession for us. He actually prays for us. He actually is our comforter, teacher, friend, savior, our God who dwells in us. This is important because in Romans chapter 8, we read about what we call the session. Session. He is in session in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And as I mentioned, he is interceding. He is our advocate. 1 John chapter 2. He is our advocate on our behalf. If I fail, he continues to be my advocate. We have two advocates in the Scripture, Christ and the Holy Spirit. They are one and the same, but they are two different persons. Christ ascended at the right hand as the advocate. We have an advocate if we sin. We have somebody who is there on our behalf, in session with the Father, in session with the Father. This beautiful picture. He is in fellowship with the Father on our behalf, representing us. He is defending. He is advocating. He is brilliant. He is empowered. He is capable. He is for us. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that is in session on our behalf. He is there. He's not finished. So he said to Mary, don't squeeze me tightly or hold on to me or grip me, because there's something better coming. I know you love me and you want me to stay here, but I will go and be in session and make it possible for you to actually know me. I am going to make myself known to you. You see, before Jesus ascended into heaven, we read in Acts chapter 1 that he went up through the clouds. And you could have written the story differently. And Jesus disappeared. Jesus was with the disciples, and then he disappeared, like in Luke 24 and John chapter 20. He was gone, and that would be the end. But God wanted us to see something, that he was here, and he ascended through the clouds, not into the starry heavens. Though he did do that, he went into the atmosphere, and he's out in the stars or the planets or in the universe. No, he went into heaven itself, the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12, the right hand of the Father, with all power and authority. This is what we have now as believers. We have the knowledge of God. We have the purpose of God, that God is for you. He loves you. He is on your behalf. He is filling you with the Holy Spirit. He is communicating to you. Madame Guyon, I have a piece here from her to read you. No matter what has been said about my experience in Christ, I cannot doubt its reality. Somewhere deep within me, I am utterly convinced it's true. It is Christ at work in my heart, and that work is as unshakable as he is. It seems to me that these theological discussions concerning the validity of an inward experience with Christ arise from people who have not tasted so great a love. They are tempted to look at men when instead they should be looking at the giver of love. True, we are full of weakness and sin, but when it pleases God to transform us and make us one with himself, we are changed into the likeness of Christ. Who can dare to tell God what he can and cannot do? Who can say that God, whose love is boundless as it is free, cannot pour out this eternal love on anyone he pleases? Doesn't he have the right to love me as he does? Yes, he loves me, and his love is without bounds. I cannot doubt it, and he loves you too in the same way. Yeah. So when you and I were born again and the Spirit was sent into us and we had this love, this forgiveness, this fellowship, we tasted it. If you haven't tasted it, then walk by faith. Walk by faith and confess any known sin before God, and you walk in his light and in his love, and it will bear witness to you that God loves you. And just let God love you. Just receive the love that God has for you. And to have this little picture about Pilate, you know, this thing, do you speak this from yourself, or have other people told you? Do you speak this from yourself, or have other people told you? Yeah. Well, the uniqueness about us is that we are speaking this from our hearts. And this is the last point of what I want to say today. And it is Psalm 51 and verse 6. We have truth in the inner part. When we read the scripture and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17. He that is joined unto the Lord, he is one spirit. We have communion with God in truth, and this is where we live. And so when we read this and teach it, it becomes our heart and our mind. We believe it and read it and understand it and grow in it as a body. But there's something else here about this story, and it is this one, that when deception in the world, and we have deception. Like at the time of Jesus' death, the world was deceived. Pilate was deceived. Pilate was talking to the king of the Jews, but he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know who he was talking to. He didn't know the importance of his decision. He didn't know what was happening. But the world, and it's the same way today in the world we're living in, there are many voices. There's many movements and directions. There are many lies. There are things that are said today that rarely have been said in the last 50 years. There are things that are shocking, morally, socially, culturally, politically. There are things that are done and said that there are so many changes that are happening in our world. Are you deceived? Can you be misled? Are you saying the things from your heart, or has somebody else told you? Are you discerning? Do you know God? That's a great word. J.I. Packer, this theologian, was saying, this word is fully inspired by God. I live by this word. The world would say, of theology, no, the Bible is, and no, the Bible. But no. Jesus said, man must not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Have you heard his word, which is able to build you up, is able to teach you and show you, is able to guide you, direct you, reprove you, instruct you? 2 Timothy 3:16. So I see in the world we live in an amazing deception going on, and people going along with the herd, you know, herd instinct. I want to belong to a group. We can put here this word too, propaganda. Propaganda. A Webster dictionary definition. The spreading of ideas, information, or rumor for the purpose of helping or injuring an institution, a cause, or a person. Ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. Is there propaganda going on? Surely, always has been. But what do you believe? Do you speak this from yourself? Or has another one told you? Are you operating on the surface of things? Or have you something deeper? Well, we know, as we've been saying, the new birth means that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, dwells in us. There's one example of propaganda in our Bible that I want to point to you, point it out to you, and use it as an illustration of how it works. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we'll start to read from verse 1. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots. Now, Absalom was David's son. David recognized that this man who had murdered his half-brother and had brought trouble into the family was not somebody that David wanted to really hang out with. He's my son. But I see in him a root problem. I see a problem here with him as a person. You know, it's very important in life that we don't honor a fool. It says in the proverb that if you honor a fool, it's like putting a stone in a sling. Modern version, putting a bullet in a gun, preparing a weapon to fire. You know, setting up a problem, like giving a loaded gun to a child, like taking a fool and promoting him because he's going to hurt himself and other people around him. But this is, in effect, what happened to Absalom, or even worse, he was deep in his heart. He had an issue with his father. Deep in his heart, he had a problem with God, and he was a potential danger. And so it develops, it's slow, because David wants to keep a distance from Absalom, and he couldn't really reach him. And that happens, we read in the Bible, with Judas Iscariot, Jesus could not reach him. He did not save him. Judas couldn't reach him. There's something about us as people which is a glorious thing. That is that we have our own life. And if we want to reject God and reject truth, we can. God gives us that option. If I say no to God, God respects it, and I go my way, and his heart is broken. In Luke 15, the prodigal son and the elder son, and it was the elder son that the father could not reach. It happens in life with the children, spouses, friendships, relationships, churches. It happens in life. And Absalom is a problem for us to learn from. He's empowered. He gets a chariot, chariots, more than one, and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So where he stood when he showed up rising early, he has a strategy. You know, in the world there's a deception going on, and these people like Absalom have strategies of how to take over, how to influence people, how to project, how to mislead, how to guide, how to get groups of people. And of course, in history, there are many examples. I was thinking of the Nazi Party because I have read a little bit about it, as you know, but in 1923, Hitler was in jail. The Nazis basically was not, the seed of the party was existing. The seed was there. And nobody would have thought that such an evil ideology, such an evil way of governance and thinking, racist, anti-Semitic, murderous, treacherous, empowered, nationalistic, this 10 years later, he would be the Chancellor of Germany. You know, propaganda, information, movements, Absalom is a master at it. Satan is a master at misleading people. And there's a lot of that going on. Have you noticed it? Do you realize that you have to have some depth in your life with God? And the only way to survive is God. The way to go through life with joy and peace and this love is God. When you know God, we will do great exploits to them that know their God, it says in Daniel. Okay, let's look at the verse, please. It's chapter 2, or chapter 15 and verse 2. So it was whenever anyone had a lawsuit, came to the king for a decision, Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" Everybody wants to feel they're being attended to. Everybody wants to feel that you know me. What city are you from? I care about you. What's your case? What's your lawsuit? My father's too busy. He hasn't appointed anybody to this. He's not really caring about you. This is an indirect, an affront to his father, David. You know how it goes. Then it says, he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel." Verse 3, then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right." Oh, look, your case is good and right. Everybody wants to hear that. Look, your case is good and right. Thank you for recognizing that. You are winning my heart. I'm getting on. I'm coming. I'm hearing you. Look at verse 3. But there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Verse 4. Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who was any suit or cause would come to me, and I would give him justice." Since so it was, whenever anyone came near him to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. Have you ever been kissed by Absalom? Some light young lady over here said, "Yeah, just recently." Have you ever been kissed by Absalom? He is good at it. His kisses are everywhere. He is good at it. He is empty. He is a liar. He is shallow. He doesn't love you. The world kisses you every day, takes your hand and kisses you. It says in Proverbs, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. They are sweet and loving and filled with affection, but they will not die for you. They are not, they don't love you like God loves you. God died for you, gave his son for you. And there wasn't anything Hollywood about it. There was nothing Las Vegas in the thing. There was no tinsel and chatter and jazz and power and bass sound system with beauty and awe and power and money and sex and everything else that kisses you and loves you. Religion does it. Religion will kiss you. Money will kiss you. Business power, your ego, everything stroking our ego, the whole picture. And they do not know God. This world does not know God. They hate God. If the world hated me, Jesus said, John 17, if the world hated me, and I'll put in there my, if the world hated me and I give you my spirit, and you have my heart and my mind, then the world will hate you. But they will go to take over and get, he says he stole the heart, verse 6. In the manner Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment, so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. But you know, once you taste the kingdom of God and you get into the diet, you get into the diet of thinking with God, you get into the diet of love, of fellowship, the diet of joy, joy and love and peace and service, and you get into this, the Spirit of God, and you walk in the Spirit, it becomes like a godly addiction. You enjoy it. You enjoy it. It becomes like a way of living. It's called walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:26. The problem with the believer, there's a problem here with the believer, and it is that the believer can grieve the Spirit. The believer can quench the Spirit. And the believer can be proud. so he doesn't live in the filling of the Spirit. He is proud. So Absalom sounds good. Like he does that. He'd rather hang out with Absalom than be with David. I'm hanging out with Absalom. He tells me what I want to hear. He likes me. He kisses my hand. I mean, we're rolling together. The thing is working. And it says he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Wait a minute. David had mighty men. What about them? No, he couldn't get their hearts. No, he didn't. The men that knew David are like you and I, who have a habit of living in the Spirit, in life, in our trials, in our challenges, in our temptations, in our fellowship. We get in the habit of living in the Spirit. I've never left this church in my Christian life because I discern the spirit of the church. The spirit of this church is one where Jesus is center, and the message is fresh from the Bible, and I learn the Bible. And then also I have my brothers and sisters that love me, but actually it's not a perfect place, perfect group of people. But I'd rather be a living dog than a dead lion. I'd rather be with you in the Spirit of God, imperfect people, but filled and drinking the Spirit, than to be, you know, important or powerful and strong without God. I'd be a dead lion, like I'm powerful and strong, but God isn't there. I'm a dead lion. But over here, I'm a living dog. Woof, woof. I'm a living dog, but I'd rather be alive. Okay, so, okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Absalom, it says there was an increase. Let's finish up and look at verse 12. It says, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel was David's counselor, and when he got him, he paid dirt. I mean, he got the big guy. He got an influential, wise counselor to David. He got the big fish. Once I got him on my group, and we're cooking now. I mean, the conspiracy is growing like wildfire. Look at verse 12. Then Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, namely from Gila, while he offered sacrifice, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. There's an increase. of the bad guys, of the superficial. We can kill Jesus now. We can kill Jesus because we're empowered. We got Pilate. He's going to do what the crowd is saying. We got this whole thing down. It's going to happen. I'm saying this in the context of our country. I'm very bold in saying this, but it's in our faces. In social media, which I gave a warning Wednesday night about how to handle that if you are involved in it, and how to handle it. You are very responsible. Matthew 12:36, you give an account for every idle word that you say at the judgment. Be wise, do not grieve the Spirit, do not quench the Spirit. And anything you do edifying, Ephesians 4:29, if somebody is offended, you go to the person alone. You don't post a thing. You got offended by a post, so you post a post to fight back at that post, and the whole thing goes like that. It's all foolishness. It's ungodly. It's not the way to live. It's stupid. It's worse. It's worse. It's not good. Okay? Anyway. So, Absalom's a master at it. And he's got the thing rolling. And to get rid of David. But I'm saying in our world today, there's a lot going on. And our business is not to be seduced. 1 Timothy 4:1, the latter days I speak clearly. He said, the Spirit has shown me clearly. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, so how do we live? Carefully. Ephesians 5, walk circumspectly, as wise, not as fools, but as wise. Be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Forsake not the assembly, but build yourself up in the most holy faith, and have discernment, and recognize that thing that we're looking at today, just like the Nazi party, sorry to say this, but it's very interesting. It looked like a sleeper. It looked like it was nothing. Hitler is in jail. He's a nobody. He's a street artist in Vienna. He's a nobody. He's nothing. He's just an angry, embittered man. He is a nobody. But no, the man did. What happened is incredible. 10 years later, he's the Chancellor of Germany and fully empowered. And it's evil. It's evil from the beginning to the end. It's destructive, wiping out a generation of German people. We're destroying a nation. 100 million people may be dying as a result of that wickedness and that terrible thing that happened. Where is the church? It's here. We know God. What are we doing? We're praying. What else are we doing? Goliath has a big mouth, and he's a nobody, because God is with us. And we're standing. And Goliath is coming down because God is with us. That's the spirit of the church. That's how we think. We are able. We are empowered. We are wise. We are discerning. And the kisses that we have are the kisses of Christ, not the kisses of an enemy, not the destroyer, not the devil. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, where his love is better than wine. Song of Solomon 1:2. And I just say this because I'd like you to realize that what we have here is very precious. I think it feeds us, helps us, instructs us, makes us wise and very discerning, and recognize the time we live in. And be somebody who adds, builds up, forgives, is humble, gives grace, is able to serve, and have a vision for others. Because we're not here to be afraid. We're here to know God. That's our calling. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? If you're here and you don't have Jesus in your heart, I want to say to you, He's here for you. He's the only wise God, the only living God, the only Savior. Come to Jesus today as you are. Believe in Him. Ask Him into your life. Then start to walk by faith in Him. Just talk to Him. Walk by faith in Him. He will fill you with the Spirit. Ask, He will give it to you. Obey Him, you will find Him. Some people have like an easy kind of thing about it, you know, yeah, believe in it. But we're saying, He said, test me, prove me, call on me, believe in me, walk with me, I will show you. I will show you. Anyone here in the auditorium, ask Jesus into your heart. Raise your hand. Anybody? Raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Thank you, sir. There's a hand. Anybody else? You're in the family of God. Hallelujah. You're in the family of God. There's another hand there right in the back. Thank you, sir. The young man right there. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, lead us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For your presence, thank you, God. Lord, also keep us from the COVID-19. Keep us healthy through our convention time. Keep us healthy. Use us to help others, reach others, heal our bodies. Maybe somebody here in the room has a cancer, and to heal the body. Maybe somebody has a personal problem, an emotional problem, and give them supernatural peace. Maybe somebody has an addiction, and pluck it out, take it and throw it away, and put it under our feet. Lord, that addiction is gone. I don't care about it anymore. It's over. It's gone by the power of the throne of God, by the right hand of God. Thank you. We pray, Jesus. Bless our service tonight. Father, visit us again tonight in the assembly. Bless our week in a deep and personal way and keep us from evil. May we discern the kisses of an enemy, a deceiver, a liar, a cheater, a thief, a stealer, Lord, a slave, master. No, we have freedom. We have the Savior. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.